Meow! Welcome to the Cat Tunes Podcast. I'm your host, Catherine Corelli. On this podcast, I'm going to talk about the stories behind my songs, the production tools that I've used, the production methods that I've employed, the instruments that I've played, the instruments that I've discovered, the arrangement methods that I've used, the real-life stories which precipitated the creation of my entire albums or of my separate tracks. So let's jump right into it, shall we? And welcome you listening to the Cat Tunes Podcast. This is episode 97. And today we're going to be talking about a song called Virtual Real from the same When Painkillers Fail album. We're in the very midst of this album. And actually, this track is pretty heavy, pretty energetic, and draws plenty of inspiration and influence from the Iowa album by Slipknot. Yes, it goes indeed that far, because the Iowa album used to be perhaps one of my most favorite albums for quite a while, and this song, Virtual Real, was written back in 2007, as far as I remember. I was experimenting with heavier tones and more chromatic movement at the time. And, of course, I was expanding on nastier, louder, dirtier synthesizers and textures and that kind of stuff. And I guess part of the point of this song, part of the message of this song, was about the juxtaposition of the real world and the online world. It was mostly centered around this, but it also incorporated the third element. And the third element was substances, because in my life I've actually lost some people to substance abuse. So it presented this, on one hand, kind of a dichotomy, and on the other hand, the another kind of dichotomy, where you have someone who lives in the real world and someone who lives in a different realm, let's put it this way, someone who is absent from the real world. And it draws the parallel between drug addiction and the existence, the addiction to the online world. And back in those days in 2007, when I was writing this song, apparently I didn't think that it would get that bad by 2022, some 15 years later. Apparently it got really bad, because now you have all these people who can't live without the internet space, who can't live without social media. Some of them solely exist only online. Some of them solely exist only online and are absolutely incapable of any form of life in the real world. They're not able to confront the real challenges of life. They don't show their faces. They hide behind avatars, behind their keyboards, etc., etc. You know the drill. And it's a whole thing. It's a big thing, actually. So in 2007, I didn't know that it's going to get really bad. I was kind of prophetic, I guess, in some sense. But in whichever case, even back then in 2007, I could see the difference and the implications. And I've had a few experiences and a few frustrations about these matters. So, of course, I had to write a song about this. And let's say that in this song, these themes of addiction, losing someone to addiction, to be more specific, never seeing someone who exists only online but doesn't actually exist in your real life, the juxtaposition of all of these angles, that actually forms the very core of this piece, and hence you have the title Virtual Real. Musically, as I said, this song draws plenty of inspiration, plenty of influence from the Iowa album by Slipknot, namely songs like Everything Ends, for example. That is a big one, a big reference. Also People Equal Shit, but not to such an extent. Mostly it's Everything Ends. And maybe a little bit from another album from Subliminal Verses, a song called The Virus of Life. Virtual Real, however, doesn't have such half-time, slow, trippy sequences. It has more of a bolting kind of feel to it. It takes off somewhere in the beginning and then it just keeps running. And it runs and it runs and it runs, with a few exceptions, with a few slowdowns. But mostly it's a very energetic, upbeat, electrified piece, with plenty of dirty textures flying by, dirty loop beats playing somewhere in the back, you know, kind of distorted drum and bass, distorted jungle and drum and bass beats in the back. They just fly by and then we're descending into yet another riff with plenty of, you know, packed with energy and with chromatic tension. Now that I've kind of laid out the premise for the song, let's try to do some analysis, and this time I'm not going to go for any extensive analysis because, quite frankly, it is extremely difficult to pinpoint at such tempo, in such a tempo. It's very difficult to pinpoint by ear all the intricacies of those chromatic movements, so I'll kind of estimate and kind of ballpark things, but I won't be able to give, like, precise riffs, rather the feel of the riffs, and sort of, you know, give you an overall, overarching sense of what the song structure looks like. So, with that being said, let's move on to the next section, shall we? So, in the very beginning, as per usual, I'm going to first play the track from the beginning, say, I don't even know, probably to the first significant riff, which looks like a hook, but is actually not a hook. This is a song where you have kind of a shifting hook. In the first part of the song, there is the hook riff that shows up early on in the intro, but the actual hook never appears with vocals until much later in the song. So I think we'll play all of this up until the second verse, all the way from the beginning. So let's give it a listen. We'll be right back. here we go. The song is in C sharp minor, which is quite a peculiar key for a song like this. However, I guess at the time I wanted to have the sixth, namely A major, I wanted to have it at the lowest possible. I wanted to accentuate the sixth in this key. And that's why I picked C sharp minor, because I wanted the root of the key to be a little higher. But the lowest note that I wanted to use in any riff, in any given riff, was an A. So I had to calculate the key for my song based on the lowest A and what from that to find out what note. Where is going to be the root, basically. And of course, on the other hand, I had to figure out what kind of vocal line am I going to sing and how am I going to pack the melody so that it wouldn't be way too high or way too low. But eventually, this song actually turned out to be pretty high and pretty difficult vocal-wise. So the song starts out with a kind of a fraction of a theme that then will conclude the entire song. And it goes something like this. And it probably doesn't last for long. It's probably half the size. And there is a riff that goes something like this. It is basically a chromatic riff, and of course, as per usual, as is very often in my heavier songs, this is C sharp minor, but this is a peculiar kind of C sharp minor. So the scale that is being used here goes like this. There is a C sharp, there is a D natural, so it's a Phrygian minor, we already know it. Then there is an E, the third. Then there is an F natural, which is a flat fourth. Then occasionally there also is a normal fourth, an F sharp, occasionally a double sharp F, a G sharp, A, B, B sharp, and a C sharp. So it's kind of an extended scale. This is what's really relevant, because this lower section of the scale is gonna be with us for a large portion of the song. It's gonna play a crucial role in the development, in the presentation of verses, the first verse, the second verse, third verse. It's gonna be all over the place, and the chromatic movement generated in any subsequent riffs is gonna also largely rest upon this rather bizarre and dark scale. So, after this initial intro, there is, we're switching to the, what becomes later kind of a hook melody. Yeah, here we go. sequence that I'm playing in the left hand here, it starts with a D natural. It doesn't start with the root of the key, right? It starts with a D natural, then it goes into a C sharp, then there is an A, B, natural, C sharp, A, B, B sharp, C sharp, and we're going again to a D, C sharp, A, B, B sharp, A. So, this is at the core of this so-called hook riff, which then later becomes kind of a hook closer to the end, but right now it's kind of in its infancy. This, everything basically rotates around this. More than that, this same riff, also has on top of it, this intro melody will continue occasionally playing over it. And the hook melody, right? Perfectly merges with this keyboard theme. The keyboard theme, this, is not being sung anywhere, it's just being played. But this melody, this matches on top of it, so it's kind of convenient to have both of them as two separate melodies which occasionally blend and coalesce. Okay, so after that, we're going into a full-blown hook riff, let's put it this way. So basically, it's the same chord progression, only that it has some major developments, and it sounds just, it's buffed up, beefed up, and it keeps going, keeps moving. Then we're going into the a short kind of bridge riff, which is da dum pam 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 pa pam pam pam. Something to that effect, and it utilizes this Phrygian minor basically with an additional diminished fifth here at G natural. And then we're going into the first verse, which opens up with plenty of yelling and growling and screaming, and it's basically the same rhythm, the same kind of pattern with additional chromatic additives. So it's again the same scale. C sharp, D natural, E, F natural, G natural, back to C sharp. Then after that, we're going into what feels like a hook, but it is not. A descending line which temporarily shifts into A, in fact, because the melody is here. At least it sounds, it's kind of a trick because it is based on the sixth of the C sharp minor, only the sixth is kind of, depends on how do you see it. To the ear, it sounds as if we've changed keys and we've jumped into A minor. And then we're going back to the hook riff, so-called riff. And again, we're kind of establishing again C sharp minor. After that, we're ready to go into the second verse. So what I'm going to do now, I'm going to just simply play from here on all the way to the end, and then I'm just going to give an overview, because getting into the, as I said, getting into the nitty-gritty of what exact chromatic stuff is going on there is pretty damn difficult, I've got to tell you. I think that I've never been really satisfied with the mixing quality of this old album, so it really is kind of messy. Not only is it difficult to figure out what the heck is going on there, just because of the sheer BPM of this track, but also it is quite difficult because of how noisy everything is, how heavy, how low, and that the mixing is not really on point. So let's listen from here on all the way to the end. from here on, we have the second verse, which kind of starts out like the first one. The only difference is that this verse is kind of split in half, and da 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 dum bum bum 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 bum. There is a halftime element to it, and it has its own little kind of build up. It's there is this deliberate slowdown to make more emphasis on the lyrics, and then after that again we're going back to the descending scale. Whatever the chromatics of it is, but it definitely starts with A. And then we're going into, after this descending riff, we're going into a chromatic middle section. And I will just call it a middle riff, because this is a sprawling, complex kind of riff that starts somewhere. Something to that effect. And it repeats and it repeats and it repeats a multitude of times. And first there is kind of a discordant voice, vocal pack that hangs over it the first time it appears right after this descending A riff. And there is some lyrics and some whispering and some kind of murmuring. And then after that it builds up and it gets back to the original tempo, whatever that tempo is. I'm guessing it's something around 140 probably. And then after that it crashes down again, and there is some rapping going on to that new build up of the same middle riff, which then evolves into screaming, and then we're finally making our way to the hook riff, which has its own little built-up. It's built as a built-up, and that is because there's going to be another hook, a full-blown hook after it, which is going to be I don't care about you, I don't care about you, which is actually a major emphasis of the whole song. Again, and I mean by the hook riff, I mean the same chord sequence. So it's this, I don't care about it, and it continues, it builds up, and it rushes back from halftime to the original tempo. Then there is a modified verse riff, which again, just like the second verse, it has kind of, it kind of drops off a cliff, because first it starts with just digits, which are being recited, and then after those digits, it also goes into 621, 311, 15, 6, 6. So those digits are assigned to letters of the English alphabet. So if you're curious, just go through the alphabet and figure out what those letters mean. Then go, and then after that we're going into this halftime version of the verse. So there is again screaming, yelling, whatever, rapping, and then after that we're going back to the hook. Get away, I bet you will. One I have to apologize for not really singing today. I was recording yesterday. I was having a recording session for Romeo and Juliet for the Take the Jive Reforged album. So because I'm doing this, I'm going through this vocal recording stage for an entire album, and I'm recording 2 days in a row usually, and then the third day I'm not singing. In these recent episodes here on Cat Tunes, I'm practically not singing at all, or kind of almost whispering, because I'm trying to save my voice a little and give myself time to for recovery. So I'm not gonna, this is a very loud song. There is plenty of screaming, there is plenty of singing as well, very high singing, and I just don't want to strain myself and go up there. But you get the point. So we're returning to this full blast kind of version of the hook with the same bom, 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 with the same line, D, natural, C sharp, A, B, B sharp, C sharp, D, natural, C sharp, A, B, B sharp, A. So we're kind of hovering all over that place, but it is established that C sharp is actually the root, you can hear it. Then after that, we have the middle. Whatever the middle riff was, this with plenty of that chromatic action, which I fail to recognize by ear, it's really difficult. This middle riff becomes the outro, and it becomes a half-time, punchy, aggressive outro, which repeats twice, and there are, of course, lyrics that are happening at the same time, and yelling and screaming, and all of that kind of jazz. And then after that, we are back to the intro, which is used here as an outro. Again, the same melody that we've heard in the beginning, this. This melody returns and it continues playing and playing and playing and playing. And there is some kind of rapping in the vocals that concludes the song. And this intro theme, which I've just played, is used as a fade-out. And the chords that are being played underneath are the chords from the hook, which we already know. It's the same, what, five or six chords. So now it's just these fifths. And this is where the song basically concludes. So I apologize if I was not able to provide a more detailed analysis, but it's pretty difficult with a song like this. It's going to be easier with some songs on this album, but some songs are just a freaking nightmare, that I can tell you. And with that being said, let's move on to the next section, shall we? So as you can hear, Virtual Real is, well, a hell of a song. I think that would be an accurate statement because of all the chromatic tension in the riffs, because of how aggressive it is, because it is so loud, it is so punchy. There is plenty of yelling, screaming, atonal noises, textures, and just like I said in the very beginning, this song draws plenty of inspiration and plenty of influence from the Iowa album by Slipknot. Back in those days, circa 2007, 2006 especially, 2005, 2004, I used to game a video game called Severance Blade of Darkness. And what I would do occasionally, I would just, instead of listening to the soundtrack, which I admire a lot, I really like that soundtrack from that video game, I still listen to it, I would occasionally put on the entire Slipknot album in the back, and I would just run through this game, especially through certain missions, and I would be playing those Iowa album songs forever. And at the time, I actually knew them, basically all of them by heart, all the lyrics. I knew every riff, I knew every drum hit, I knew everything about that album at the time. So apparently, it would be... I can't deny the fact that that album had a tremendous influence on me and everything that I was writing at the time. I was kind of split between being influenced by progressive metal, because Dream Theater was another band that I was listening to extensively approximately since 2001, probably, and I was still listening to it at the time in 2007, but not so much, really. I was more interested in this punchier, darker, more aggressive kind of music, because it kind of resonated with me a lot more, and it was more in line with whatever I was going through at the time, and the kind of feelings that I had within me. So, Virtual Real is a hell of a song. That's what I want to say. And of course, as per usual, if you've never heard any of my music and you don't know this album, of course I want to invite you to check it out on any major streaming platform alongside my other albums, which surprisingly might be very, very different from this one. Because this When Painkillers Fail album from 2007 was a very wild experiment. It was deliberately done as a dark and very heavy and very aggressive album. Basically, the way I thought about it was like a punch bag. Everything that I couldn't say, everything that I couldn't express, everything that was seething and boiling right under the surface, right underneath my skin, all of those things were just flowing freely in this album. So, if you haven't heard it yet, and you are into music like this, definitely check it out. And if you're going to check out When Painkillers Fail, of course, among my discography, check out another album, which is kind of along the same lines, called I, Alice, Severance. There is going to be a sequel to this album, hopefully with much better production, which is going to be called I, Alice, Psychohazard. But this probably will happen around 2024. If all the stars line up, it's going to happen in 2024. But as of now, check out my catalog. Just look for Catherine Corelli on any major streaming platform. You can find me on Deezer, on Spotify, Apple Music, iTunes, also YouTube Music. And if you're a YouTube user, you might want to check out my channel. Catherine Corelli, I have an official artist channel which has a little note next to it that tells you that that's a legitimate artist channel, actually. And I have two major playlists. One of them is Cat Vibes, a very casual playlist where I usually show my art skills, my graphic art, and music, of course, certainly. My recording process, me recording guitars, playing drums, something to that effect. And just casual footage of me just doing something, or just some ASMR footage occasionally. And the other playlist is called Cat Talk. It's a different show that I have, kind of a podcast of its own, and this is where I'm mostly talking about social, political, giving social and political commentary. So if you're not interested in that, or you don't want to get triggered by some of my opinions, don't go there. And don't watch it. But if you're interested, and if you think you have thick skin, go ahead and check it out as well. So, and of course, as per usual, I want to invite you to check out my other business, which is called Southern Caracle Skin Health and Aromatherapy Products. We have new lotions. We have CBD-infused lotions starting today. Very soon, they're going to show up on our website. And probably by Monday, for Sunday, Monday, they're going to show up there. So check them out. We have regular lotions, we have CBD-infused lotions. Our thing is that all of these products are all natural. They're wonderful for your skin. They actually solve problems. Unlike products from the big box stores, which talk a big game and promise a lot of things, but in the end you end up spending a lot of money, and then you need additional products to deal with the consequences. Our products are all natural. They're made here in the United States. The vast majority of them are made in my great state of Kentucky. Some aromatherapy bars are left over from Tennessee, but the great majority of all of our products, and very soon all of our products, are going to be only from Kentucky. So it's made locally. We have wonderful oatmeal and honey soaps of all sizes and all sorts of functionality. We have scrub bars, we have regular oatmeal honey bars. Our soaps and our lotions help people with eczema, psoriasis, dry skin because of dry skin due to diabetes. Our lotions are deeply moisturizing. People love them. They don't leave a greasy feeling, which is very important. We have lip balms, we have bath bombs, we have all sorts of products. So check out our website, southerncaracol.com, southern from the word south, and caracol, caracal.com. Check out our products and see if you can pick something for yourself or for your friends and family. And believe me, your skin and the skin of your friends and family will thank you later. With that being said, I'll be concluding this episode. Thank you very much for being with me. And you will hear me next time.